Hare Krishna. So, we are continuing with narrations of the prayers of Prahlad Maharaj to Lord Nrisimhadev, which is the ninth chapter of the seventh canto. This verse is one of the very instructive verses. And this is verse number 28. So I'll read the Sanskrit and then we can... Can you see if you can follow me? It might be a little hard, but... Evam Janam Patititam. I'm sorry, Nipatitam Pravavahi Kupe. Evam jana nipatitam prabhavihi. Evam jana nipatitam prabhivahi kupe. Well, we tried anyway. Kama bikaman anu ya prapatan. Prasangat kama bikama anuya pratitam prasangat. Kridvat masat surasina bhagavan grihita. Kridva masat surasinam bhagavan grihita. Soham katam nu visreje tava brityasevam. Soham katana sufisa tava brityasevam. Word for word. Evam thus janam. People in general. Nipatitam, fallen. Prabhava, of material existence. Ahi kupe, in a blind well full of snakes. Kama abhikaman, desiring the sense objects. Anu, following. Ya, the person who, prapatan, falling down in this condition. Prasangat, because of bad association or increased association with materialistic desires. Kritva atmasat, causing me to acquire spiritual qualities like himself. Sri Narada. Sura Rishina, by the great saintly person Narada. Bhagavan, O my Lord. Grihita, accepted. Sa, that person. Aham, I. Katam, how. Nu, indeed. Visrajay, can give up. Tava, your. Britya sevam, the service of your pure devotee. So Prahlad Maharaj is speaking in a very prayerful way to Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Nrisimhadev. He says, my dear Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, because of my association with material desires, one after another, I was gradually falling in a blind well full of snakes following the general populace. But your servant, Narada Muni, kindly accepted me as disciple and instructed me how to achieve this transcendental position. Therefore, my first duty is to serve him. How can I leave his service? Okay, so... Please repeat, my dear Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, because of my association with material desires, one after another, I was gradually falling into a blind well full of snakes. Following the general populace. But your servant Narada Muni accepted me as his disciple, instructed me how to achieve this transcendental position. Therefore, my first duty is to serve him. How could I leave his service? Srila Prabhupada's purport. As will be seen in later verses, even though Prahlad Maharaj was directly offered all the benedictions he might have desired, he refused to accept such offerings from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. On the contrary, he asked that the Lord engage him in the service of his servant, Narada Muni. This is a symptom of a pure devotee. One must serve the spiritual master first. It is not that one should bypass the spiritual master and desire to serve the Lord. This is not the principle of a Vaishnava. So sometimes people say that, well, I have a direct relationship with God. Why should there be anybody in between? What is the necessary for some intermediate? So here we understand Prahlad Maharaj is saying, the Lord is speaking to Prahlad directly. He's actually offering, he's standing right next to the Lord. In fact, he's sitting on the Lord's lap. And the Lord is offering him anything he wants. And what is he saying? My duty is to serve Narada. My duty is to serve my spiritual master. And Prabhupada makes the point that no one can approach the Lord directly. Now we might say, well, what is Prahlad Maharaj doing? Is he actually teaching us some principle? Or is he actually explaining that principle for himself? Or is he doing both? I think he's doing both. He's showing what is a true disciple. But he's also feeling that he has a debt to his spiritual master who's brought him to that stage of serving the Lord. And therefore, how can I leave my spiritual master? There's a class of transcendentalists, spiritualists, who say that the spiritual master is important, but when you achieve perfection, you achieve realization, then just like if you have to climb to the top of a building, you may need a ladder to get up there. But once you get up there, the ladder is no more needed. So then you can just push the ladder away. So they say the spiritual master gets you there, and then there is no need for his service. But actually, the service of the spiritual master, as is the service for the Lord, is an eternal feature of the devotee's relationship with the Lord. The spiritual master manifests himself as the mercy of the Lord in the life of a devotee. And the loaded devotee can see that there is no hope for me to approach the Lord unless I have the favor of his representative, the spiritual master. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj is saying to the Lord, you're offering me nice benedictions, that's nice, but I have to serve my spiritual master. Whatever he wants me to do, that is what I want to do also. This is very instructive for everyone, because people sometimes feel it's an extra botheration or not necessary. One can simply read books and offer prayers. Krishna's in the heart. In fact, he's closer to me than my spiritual master. But that is not the correct understanding. The Lord manifests himself as his mercy manifestation, who is Krishna within the heart, who has come externally in order for the devotee to serve the Lord by serving himself in the form of his spiritual master. The Guru is the manifestation of the Super Soul. As it says, the word is antaryami. That means external manifestation of God. And the Lord in the heart is the, what we say, the manifestation that directs the living entity in the right way. And when one is ready to receive the instructions of the Lord, one can hear the Super Soul within the heart by hearing the Lord externally in the form of the spiritual master. There's no difference. There's no difference. So this is what Prahlad Maharaj is saying. And Prabhupada is expounding on this verse. And therefore Prabhupada quotes Narottam Das Thakur. He says, Tandaracharavaseve bhakta sonevas janame jamamehoi eyabilas. One should not be anxious to offer direct service to the Lord. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advised that one become a servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. Gopi Bartar Padekamalayor Dasa Dasa Anudas. This is the process for approaching the Supreme Lord. The first service should be rendered to the spiritual master so that by his mercy one can approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead to render service. We sing every morning, Yasyat Prashada Bhagavat Prashado Yasya Prashadan Nagutikutopi. That without the grace of the spiritual master, one cannot make any advancement. Probably said Nagutikutopi, not that one can jump over the spiritual master and go directly to the Lord. So one who is in full knowledge of the process of devotional service is always taking shelter at the lotus feet of their spiritual master, or one designated as a spiritual master, and praying for the Lord's service and mercy by trying to follow the instructions of the spiritual master. Therefore, one of the principles of absorption in devotional service, there's three ways you can absorb yourself, three aspects of how full absorption and devotional service is understood. One is to be fully engaged in all activities of devotional service. Another one is to always be meditating on the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead by meditating on the instructions of the spiritual master, which are non-different. Is there any situation, can we actually say that there is a difference between the instructions of the bona fide spiritual master and the Lord himself? It may appear like that, where the Lord speaks something, but the spiritual master takes that statement by the Lord and transforms it into what we say, a practical understanding of the principle of devotional service. Like in the scriptures, it mentions that it mentions that those who are in the land of India, for them to cross the ocean and go to Western countries is a fallen state. To leave that situation and go. So from some perspective, Srila Prabhupada is considered to be fallen. Because the scripture said don't cross the ocean. Just like the Madhvites. There was one this happened not too long ago, maybe about 10, 12 years ago, when one prominent Madhvite Acharya, and they never leave India, cross the ocean and start preaching in America. And therefore, he was shunned by the rest of the society because he seemed to have breached the etiquette. and therefore he was not allowed to resume a post when he returned, because each of the, there's like 9 temples, and each of the temples has a leading acharya, and so he was one of them, and he left, and so he was not allowed to return to his post after coming back. But his argument was, I went to teach the principles of Madhvacharya to the Western countries. And of course, later on, after a large discussion, it was accepted. In the same way, Srila Prabhupada crossed the ocean. And therefore, he seemed to breach the principle, but he did it as a service to the Lord. So, translating what the Lord somehow says within the scriptures into a practical understanding may appear to be different, but actually it is his realizations on how to best execute the service of the Lord and to engage others in the service of the Lord. That's why the word acharya means one who teaches by example. He's not only knows the Shastras, but can apply the Shastras. Just like for another example, the Vedic culture, as is traditionally practiced within the continent of India, doesn't allow women to practice within the temple. The women can come to the temple, but they cannot live in the temple. They can come and perform, they can come and visit the temple, they can also do some service, but they cannot stay and be part of the temple environment. So, but Prabhupada changed that whole thing. Not changed it, he adopted the culture according to the Western need. He saw that that wasn't practical in Western countries and it would cause more problems. So in order to give the women population an equal opportunity, as Prabhupada said, with their devotee brothers, he allowed women equal rights within the society, across the board. Now, he was criticized for that. I mean, highly criticized. And even by some of his godbrothers. But Prabhupada said, I became popular because of that. He said, I became successful because of that. So knowing how to adjust, and then Shruti Kirti Prabhu, who was Prabhupada's personal servant, said that one presented that thing, and he said, how do we know when to change something and when something cannot be changed? And then there is two things. There is detail and there's principle. A principle can never be changed. One principle is you must accept a living spiritual master. That's a principle. But a detail is an extension of the principle in practice. So details, according to time, place, and circumstance, can be adjusted, but principles cannot be. So Shruti Kirti Prabhu asked Srila Prabhupada, how do we know the difference between a principle and a detail? And Prabhupada said, that requires intelligence. That was his answer. That was the end of the answer. So he gave us the understanding, it requires intelligence to execute devotional service. Practically reading the Shastras and what we say perfunctorially, executing the duties doesn't really help one go beyond a certain level of advancement. One should know how to read the scriptures and apply the scriptures. That is the practice, that is the success of one's execution of devotional service. How does this practically apply to me? And how can I practically apply it in my execution of devotional service? So the spiritual master not only gives the guidance, but he also gives that knowledge where he can teach you how to practically apply the Shastras, which are not so easy to understand. Not so easy. I mean, even today, Prabhupada's books are criticized, even within the society, and very hard to practice. Because he says things that apparently are contradictory. Not only apparently, they are apparently contradictory. But they work one way in one situation, and they work another way in another situation, therefore there's no contradiction. Just like on the highest platform, everything is spiritual. And therefore there is no such thing as material, but we cannot, on what we say surreptitiously, or what we say mechanically, jump up to the highest platform and expect to practice devotional service. But there are those who are practicing on that level. So one has to practice according to their level of development, and then gradually make progress to the next stage, like that. And there's where the spiritual master helps you, takes you from one stage to another, or teaches you the process how to move from one stage to another, like that. So therefore, always taking shelter of the spiritual master, praying for his mercy and getting the understanding of the instructions in a practical way. And then through practical application, one gets a particular understanding and one can apply that to make further progress. Does that sound too philosophical? Or is it, it can be, can you take down what I said in a practical way? Just like worshiping the deity is not always the same in every area, depending on the situation. You know, the rules and regulations may apply in one set of circumstances, but not in another set of circumstances. Just like Prabhupada says, for preaching, there's no rules. But then he said, don't take advantage. For the preachers, there's no rules and regulations, but he said, don't take advantage of that. And then, because one should teach by example, even though one may not have to necessarily follow the rules strictly. So all these things are, what we say, aspects of understanding the philosophy in practice. Therefore, without hearing regularly from the spiritual master, or those who speak on behalf of the spiritual master, becomes very difficult to execute devotional service properly. The hearing process continually awakens within us the understanding like that. Just like without kirtan, transcendental knowledge doesn't really come alive. Vidyavadhu jivanam, we say in anandam buddhivardhanam. No, we know. Cheta darpanam marjanam, bhava maha dervagnir nirvapanam, shreya kaivar vichendrika vidharanam. Vidyavadhu jivanam. Vidyavadhu jivanam means the holy name gives life to transcendental knowledge. Transcendental knowledge is actually an aspect of the feature of the Supreme Lord. He is non-different than this knowledge, but it is only awakened through the process of glorification of the Lord. So therefore, Sankirtan applies to every aspect of our devotional service. Without chanting, on regular chanting, either kirtan or one cannot enter into the understanding of this knowledge. It remains very much what we say sometimes is dry philosophy. But it comes alive through the holy name. The holy name gives life to transcendental knowledge. Then the transcendental knowledge doesn't need life, but we need the light to see how transcendental knowledge comes alive in our own life through the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. So that's why Sankirtan, glorification of the Lord, chanting the holy name, is the primary function in this age. All the other processes that we execute center around and develop from chanting Hare Krishna. Excuse me. Then Prabhupada goes on. This is the process for approaching the Supreme Lord. The first service should be rendered to the... did I read that? Yeah. While teaching Rupa Goswami, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Guru Krishna Prasadi Pai Bhakti Lata Bija. One can achieve the seed of devotional service by the mercy of the Guru. So that seed is planted in the heart. That's called what? Hmm? Hmm? Pati like the beads, that's the name of the seed. But what is that planting process?
Initiation.
Initiation, right. Initiation is when the seed gets planted in the heart. Prior to initiation, one is cultivating the mood to become receptive, to receptive to that planting of the seed, because you can't plant a seed in a dry, in an unfertile ground. So the heart is being cultivated through the practice of devotional service prior to the stage of initiation, where the heart becomes ready to receive that. And that is called beginning. As Prabhupada said, initiation means beginning. So we're practicing to begin. But we're at the same time, we're doing the same thing that we do when once we begin, but the consciousness, the development of that consciousness becomes fully manifested in practice at the time when we receive that seed of initiation. Although everything else is going on. Does that make sense, Adi? Okay, I'm just checking. I need to find it and make sure I'm not exaggerating here. Prabhupada says, this is the secret of success. He uses the word secret. Why is it secret? It's told to everyone. Just like when you say something is a secret, that means nobody knows it, or only a few people know it. But it's given to everyone. But you only one who is able to understand can unravel the secret. Therefore, the qualification is more than just hearing the secret, see the knowledge, but actually cultivating the practice of that knowledge, and then that secret is revealed. Krishna says in the Bhagavad, this is the most secret of all secrets, but he tells you everything. The thing is, we cannot understand it until we're at a certain level of spiritual awareness. Then that secret is revealed. Then it's no longer a secret, it becomes a reality. Okay. This first, one should try to please the spiritual master, then one should attempt to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So there's a succession. I lost one. Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur also says, Yasya Prasada Bhagavat Prasado. One should not attempt to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead by concoction. One must first be prepared to serve the spiritual master, and when one is qualified, he is automatically offered the platform of devotional service to the Lord. So this is the entrance into devotional service, pleasing the spiritual master. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj proposed that he engage in the service of Narada Muni. He never proposed that he engage directly in the service of the Lord. This is the right conclusion. Therefore, he said, Soham katam navisraje tavabrityasevam. How can I give up the service of my spiritual master who has favored me in such a way that I am now able to see you face to face? It's like someone takes you to the place where you want to be, and then how grateful you are to that person. Sometimes, just like if someone gives you something, but he gives it through another person, and that person takes great effort to give it to you, don't you feel grateful to the person who also brought it to you as much as you're grateful to the person who gave it to you? Because without that person, you may not have received it. So in the same way, the spiritual master is giving us what Krishna is giving us. But it's actually nice, because not only do you get Krishna, but you get Krishna and his representative. But there's a special feature with getting Krishna's representative. And that is, even if Krishna doesn't want your devotional service, somehow or other, if you somehow please the spiritual master, he can petition Krishna and say, Prabhupada would use the example, you know, my dear Lord, please accept this person's offering. Krishna will say, who's that guy? What has he done? It's not easy to approach the Supreme Lord. You have to be pure. No one can approach the Supreme Lord unless they're completely pure. Therefore, he takes our less than pure devotional service, transforms it in by his own purity, and offers it to Krishna. Therefore, one can approach Krishna through the pure devotee spiritual master. That's why when we offer prayers to the Lord, we always offer prayers first to the spiritual master. The first prayers in the morning are prayers to the spiritual master. And in fact, the way we approach all prayers to the Lord is always approaching prayers to the spiritual master. So this is how the process works. Prahlad Maharaj prayed to the Lord that he might continue to engage in the service of his spiritual master, Narada Muni. So he's so attached to serving his spiritual master that he only wants to serve and please his spiritual master, even though the Lord is offering him directly benedictions. He's teaching us how grateful, you know, and it's very... And this is very, this is a Shastric statement. It's not easy to get a spiritual master. It might look easy, but it's not. It's not easy. Only one who is fortunate, somehow, something in that person's life created some good fortune in order to be able to recognize the need to have a spiritual master, and then the second part of being fortunate is to be able to find a spiritual master. Both. Not to recognize the need for a spiritual master in my life, and then to find that person who can fulfill that need. It's very rare. Prabhupada would say, to get a bona fide spiritual master is like, he uses analogy, a turtle is swimming in an ocean. The ocean is vast. And there's a log floating in the ocean. In that log, there's a hole. Now, the turtle decides to surface. He's underwater. He decides to go up. He goes up, and the first time he goes up, he goes through the hole in that log that's floating somewhere in that vast ocean. Prabhupada said, that's how rare it is to get a spiritual master. So we shouldn't think, oh, I got a spiritual master. It's great fortune. And to keep the relationship with that spiritual master that we have developed in the beginning of our practice means to always take constant shelter of his instructions, pray for his mercy. That's why Rupa Goswami, when he describes the 64 principles of devotional service, it was the first four or five, are only about the spiritual master. Adau Guru Astakam. One should take shelter of a spiritual master, one should take initiation from a spiritual master, one should hear from a spiritual master, one should constantly question about how to make advancement in one's devotional service. This is the process. And then, one should not think, well, you know, I've been in devotional service for a while. You know, I know how to do it. I know how to do it. It's, you know, I'm okay. That's Maya. Because we may think we're okay, we're not okay, but we may think we know, but actually, to always reconnect ourselves with that sound vibration keeps us from, because Maya is very, Prabhupada says, the path to spiritual life is very narrow. The path to material existence is very wide. So you imagine there's hundreds and thousands of roads going in different directions, and there's one road going in the right way. You have to find that one road. Now, you found it. Now, you have to stay on that road. Staying on the road may just be as difficult as finding that road. And there's where the spiritual master keeps you connected to that road. That's his special service to the Lord by keeping the devotee connected on the path like that. One time one devotee said to Prabhupada, "Srila Prabhupada, I'm in Maya." Prabhupada said, "You're always in Maya." And this was an advanced devotee. What was Prabhupada saying? If you think you're not, if you think you're okay, you're not. The idea you think, I'm okay, things are going okay. You're not. Only when you're constantly connected to Krishna through the instructions of the spiritual master are you safe. That's the safe boat for crossing over the ocean of material existence. What are the instructions of the spiritual master? We mentioned earlier that one who constantly meditates on the instructions of the spiritual master, that is non-different than execution of pure devotional service. Those instructions represent pure devotional service, and one is always thinking how to execute those instructions. They are on the transcendental platform. So this is just to help us understand deeper what is our relationship with the spiritual master and how critical it is to keep developing that relationship. It never stops. It's not like you get initiated and, "Oh, I got a name, that's cool. I'm in the organization now." I write my spiritual master once a year. I send him a nice letter on his Vyasa Puja day. And maybe I even give him a donation. But the rest of the year, it's just me and my mind. And that's what happens. And then there's no further advancement. And one gradually starts to go down. Okay, so these are some instructions. Any questions? Yes.
Sometimes people say to me that they don't know how to choose their spiritual master. Then I tell them that Krishna chooses who is your spiritual master. It's not from us, but from Krishna. So is it correct for me to say that?
In one sense, what you're saying is correct, but there's more to it than that. Otherwise, the point you're making is the point that the Shastras say, when the person is ready, the spiritual master appears. But then how do you recognize when he appears? The thing is, the process is to hear. So practically speaking, and I say practically, one should attach themselves to a particular spiritual master, even at the beginning, either one, two, or maybe even three, and just hear from those that you feel, what we say, attracted to. And then constantly hear from one or two or three, and gradually, through that hearing process, gradually you will start to recognize that person who is hearing and, of course, serving both at the same time. So one has to hear regularly. Not regularly, constantly. Constantly. People get attracted to a spiritual master because of external features. And that could be a little bit dangerous because he smiles in a certain way. "I had a dream you were my spiritual master." You may have other dreams too. So, people dream this way and that way, and then, or somebody has a particular personality that you're attracted to the personality. But the real spiritual master is one who speaks in such a way as he wants you, that you want to give up material life and you want to become a devotee. When you hear that connection, that I want to serve this person because he's bringing me to Krishna, you can feel it through his vakya, through his words. And he teaches by example also. So these things we should look for. It's not so easy. It takes some... Getting advice from others is helpful, but no one should tell anyone this is your spiritual master. One can give advice and direct one accordingly, but ultimately one has to choose. So we get sometimes enamored by the externals. Like that. Yes.
Hare Krishna, I have one question. Can I then think for the spiritual master that he's a tool of Krishna?
He's a what?
A tool, like a tool. So
tool.
Krishna to give you where you go to the spiritual.
That's not wrong, but it's not complete. He is Krishna manifested himself. Krishna manifests himself as the spiritual master. In other words, Krishna appears as the bona fide spiritual master. The Shastras say there's God who is serving and God who is being served. The God who is being served is Krishna, God who is serving is the spiritual master. He's not God, but he should be seen like God. So how do you do that? In other words, you serve the spiritual master as if Krishna was personally present. You treat the spiritual master as you would treat God. But he's not the spiritual master, he's not God, but he's taking what you offer and he's offering it to Krishna. So the perfect example is an ambassador who comes to another country on behalf of his own country, meets the president of another country. That president communicates through the other president through this ambassador. And that ambassador takes back what that president says to his country. So in the same way, the spiritual master is the ambassador for Krishna, and he should be treated as if Krishna was personally present. That's the understanding.
And if you're not successful in this line, whose fault is this? Like spiritual master's fault or your fault?
What do you mean not successful?
That you don't go into spiritual world.
Well, you make progress. And kuntiya pratijanihi namai bhakti pranashyati. You make progress. What is that verse? What is that? It's, you know, if you don't make it in this life, you make it in the next life. What is that? That's Neha Brahma. That's the one in the 9th chapter. Or 6th chapter, either one. It's Suchinam Simitam Gehe Yoga Brasta Prajayate. Suchinam means you take births. You don't make it in this life, but if you practice devotional service, then in your next life you're guaranteed a good situation where you can pick up again in your next life. So there's never any loss. Devotional service is cumulative. Where in material life, whatever you do, your success is in material life is what you accomplish now, and then after that it's all finished. But spiritual life, if you make 50% advancement, in your next life you start from 50%. If you make 10% advancement, you start from 10%. That's never lost. So many devotees who are in our society sometimes come in and they go very fast, where others go very slow. That means that could really indicate in last life they were practicing and now they're moving fastly forward because they already have that, what we say, practice from their previous life. It becomes awakened when they come in contact with the process again, like that. That's why you can't say everyone's on the same level of spiritual advancement, because some have come from previous lives and some, but you can't really judge. But you can sometimes see that, and someone comes and immediately they just move fast. And others can't move at all because, you know, they're still getting accustomed like that. So, yeah, it's cumulative. It's like money in the bank. Whatever you put money in the bank, it stays there, and then when you need it, it's the same amount. So, if you make 50% advancement, next life you start from 50%. But the idea is not to simply wait. The idea is to try to finish in this life. So the spiritual master is teaching you how to do that. He's giving you the full process.
Is there a possibility that you are much more successful than your spiritual master in this advancement during your lifetime?
That's a nice question, and it's been asked before. But a devotee never thinks like that. The spiritual master sometimes sees that his devotee is more advanced than he is. It's like, the example is the father thinks, oh, my son is so nice. He's doing better than me. He's passing me up. But that's love. But the son doesn't think I'm better than my father. He thinks because of my father, I'm making it, and I'm doing nicely. So he doesn't think himself better than his father. If he does, he becomes fallen. But this father may also think that the son is better than he is. But the actual understanding is the son always remains subordinate and the father always remains the guide.
If I understand, this is also the example that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was showing us with his way of living, preaching.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Thank you. Nice question. Anything else? Yes, Sundar Gopal.
Is it important, for example, if we do some kind of that we like to do in devotional service, but at the same time, this is also what our guru wants us to do. So, do you think it's...
It's nice.
It's for us, yes, but should we try to think, to change it?
I should do something that... Well, you can ask him if he says...
No. Should we think to change our mentality to try to meditate that we will do this because our Guru wants us to do it?
Yeah, that's better, yeah. Mm. Even though I like it, still... Because at one point you may not like it. You should do it as a service to the spiritual master. Even though you like it, still. Yeah, that's the proper mentality. It doesn't mean you don't like it, or you like it and you don't like it any less. In fact, there are services that we may not like, but when we start doing it for the spiritual master, we start liking it. Because we can feel his mercy coming through our surrender like that. Okay, that's right. We should do it as a service, not just because we like it. That's bhakti. Mm-hmm. Anything else? Quiet. Okay. This is a very hot topic. Guru-disciple relationship. It's really hot stuff. Because you can discuss it, right? Nobody can figure it out. Adi, say something. I think that was the conclusion. No, even within ISKCON, the whole dynamics of guru-disciple relationship are still being understood. It's very, very intricate. It's very deep, very intricate. It's very hard to understand. There's books, many books are being written about it. Prabhupada composed a lot of statements regarding guru and disciple relationship, and all those statements were collected and put into a book called The Spiritual Master and the Disciple, which was published many years ago. And at one point, I was asking everyone who was coming as a disciple to read that book before they actually come to take initiation. It's a very, it's nicely composed into different categories of the relationship between guru and disciple like that. Mm-hmm. It's such a dynamic. Okay, shall we stop here? I guess so. Okay, I can't do anything else. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.